The team at Violent Gentlemen saw what I could do at their weekly skate and decided it was time to make our relationship official. Proud to announce the newest sponsor of the Eat 'Em Up podcast, Orange County's finest Violent Gentlemen Hockey Club.
Get ready for some hot takes, off-the-wall topics, and candid conversations with current and former players. It's time for Eat 'Em Up with Emerson Edom.
What's up, Ducks fans? Eat 'Em Up. We're back, and this one's juicy. This one's really juicy because it's all about the grassroots. Yes, the grassroots, California hockey, SoCal in particular. And look, it's Orange Country, right? It's now Orange Country. And, you know, I think the weather just got that much better. Just ever since the announcement happened, I got to tell you, just I got a little bit more jump in my step. Weather's been great, and it's been fun. It's been super fun, and we are so lucky to have my main man, Coach Brett Beebe, joining us. So let's ring him up. We have Coach Brett Beebe joining us, and Brett has an extensive resume. Just won a national championship with the Junior Kings last season, and he's also won the Quebec Pee-wee the Carnival back in 2019. That was huge. I played that two seasons in a row, and it was a blast there. Had all the pen trading and so much festivities. You got the outdoor ice skating on the lake. I mean, so much fun stuff. Beebs, thanks for joining us. And I know you got a lot going on. Me and Brett go way back, but we got more important things to talk about. This episode's all about grassroots. There's no better guest to have than Brett Beebe talking about grassroots hockey. And I had a game plan. I pitched it to you, Beebs. You said, I got some important messages to preach. So I'm gonna leave the floor to you, Coach. So let's hear it.
No, man, I'm pumped to have be on here and do this. It's been so cool to see, you know, you make this transition from playing into being able to show, you know, not just Ducks fans and everybody in the hockey community, like who you are as a person. And so, you know, first wanted to start with that. And, you know, from a grassroots perspective, I think you, me, all the guys that are back involved in hockey right now, helping out in different ways, we're all products of being able to just be exposed to the game at an early age and not necessarily, you know, having families that can, you know, rack up the private lesson bills and travel all over the place. And really, we were just able to play and have fun until it was time to take it seriously. And then even then, you know, we were a product of just working really hard at something we loved. Nobody had to push us to do it, but we had access to all sorts of different things to be able to work as hard as we wanted. You know, I think you're the perfect example of that. Like, you know, nobody has a better story of how hard they had to work with your, you know, rollerblading to the bus stop and, you know, getting to TR and spending all that time there. And, you know, you didn't have someone that was driving you there and making you do it and paying you the big bucks, but like people were there for you. As long as you got there, they were going to be there for you. And I had similar story here. And I think what we really need to do at a granular level, and especially in California, where, you know, hockey's expensive and we're making it more expensive than it has to be sometimes. And so, you know, I'm really motivated to see how we can maybe change the dynamic of stuff, especially at the younger ages where we're kind of almost pushing people out unintentionally by building, you know, AAA super teams at Mites and Squirts, when really, if we just gave as many kids as possible the opportunity to play at the younger ages, you know, is there an Emerson Edom, you know, if at Mites you weren't on the very best team, or a Bo Bennett or myself or whoever? Cause like, you know, I played Squirt Double B and Pee Wee Double B my first couple years of ice hockey. And so I think it's it's a collective conversation with real hockey people that's going to change all of this stuff. And I think there's no one in this sport that's doing it maliciously, but I think we have people that are making decisions that aren't maybe seeing it from this perspective that maybe we have. So I think having those conversations with those people and seeing how we can make some real change to grow this game so that kids aren't, you know, having to leave home at 12, 13 years old, whatever it is now, and 14, 15, and keeping kids here a little bit longer. I think with the team that we've had the last couple of years that, you know, we've been in the national championship 2 years in a row with all California kids except one. And I think it's just, hey, if you stick around, there's enough good players here where iron sharpens iron, where in practice our guys are playing against each other every day in practice. And then we're playing some of the best teams in the country week in and week out. So it's able to happen. We just have to work together to make it, you know, actually happen.
Yeah. And a lot of good points there to digest, Biebs, but one important thing is the quality of coaching, right? It's yourself who you got so many on ice hours over the years, coach, that it's just, you know, guys like you, all the former players that are retiring here in California. So the coaching's there, you know, the argument can be made, ice availability, maybe needing new infrastructure, when it comes to just more sheets of ice, more opportunities there. One thing I've thought about, just how do we keep the talent here? I mean, how big would it be for the UCLAs of the world and the USCs? Just match a model like Arizona State, what they're doing, the good things ASU and their hockey programs doing. I mean, have you thought about that much? Just how much of an impact D1 schools having hockey teams here, what that would do to the landscape?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, with UCLA and USC joining the Big Ten hockey conference or Big Ten sports conference and what's happening there and the way that the landscape is shifting with NIL, and I think we're not far off from a lot of bigger schools, especially like SEC schools and things like that. I don't think we're far off from seeing more schools get Division I teams, especially if we see the CHL allow or the NCAA allow CHL players to go play Division I college after playing in the WHL or the OHL or whatever it is. Like, I think we're maybe only a year away from that happening. And I think that opens up the door to more elite level players playing at Division I schools. And now if Title IX changes and things like that, there's obviously, you know, regulations and financial things with those things. But I mean, I think if we're able to get that here, it's huge. And I think the one thing that's always going to be a problem here, at least for now, is like every rink is, you know, it's pretty much everyone's for profit, right? Every rink's for profit. And I get that. And, you know, we're at a shortage of ice, but how do we work with what we have instead of saying, I wish we had different, or I wish we had more? Cause I think that's a conversation that happens a lot, is like, well, if we only had more ice, or if we only had, you know, whatever, if instead of that conversation, which I think that happens at the rink a lot with parents, where they talk about how grass is greener somewhere else. I'm like a big grass is greener where you water it type person. So how do we take what we have right now and work with it and make it the best we can, instead of if only. And I think like a perfect example of that is we look at what kids do right now in terms of their lessons and clinic times, right? Every rink breaks their ice sheet up into six zones, and a coach has a corner and a neutral zone or whatever else. It's like, hey, how did we work on our skills when we were growing up? What was like the best time of the week? I remember Monday night clinics where it was $25 or whatever it was to get on the ice. And yeah, you had 30 and 40 kids out there, but it was $20 or $25. And Turcotte and Pitch and Sandy and all these guys, they're running everybody through stick handling drills and whatever else. And like, hey, if you wanted to screw around and not work at it, like, you could do that. If you wanted to actually work on your hands, like you and Bo and some of these guys, like the framework was there for you to get better. So how do we change what we're doing to make it more affordable for parents, still super conducive to kids getting better, involving more players that maybe don't have the means to pay 80, 90, 100 bucks every time they step on the ice for coaching, and work within that framework. And I think what we did with our Kings 15 team and now our 16 team this last year is we had a certain amount of allotted game slots that we could play at home. And I got to get creative with how we could get teams to come out here. So 15 AAA, we hosted Little Caesars, who is number one in the country. We hosted Shattuck St. Mary's, who we ended up beating in the finals. We hosted Omaha, Phoenix, Windy City Storm. Like, we played 35 home games, 15 AAA year, which that doesn't really happen, but we had to get a little creative. That might mean picking up the ice bill and the ref bill for teams that come travel here. It might mean, you know, working with the rinks to make sure, hey, we've got enough ice at the beginning of the year to host those games. It might mean split practices with other teams so that we have a little extra ice to do other things here and there. So I think, again, it requires change, which I think a lot of people are resistant to because it's different, but it can definitely be done. We got a lot of smart people out there that are willing to do this stuff.
Biebs, it's one of the juiciest things I've heard regarding the topic, right? It's maximizing what we have now. So that helped me out right there. I'm going to have more of a mindset of, because me and when Terry Ake was on the show, we talked about that, the lack of available ice, but you mentioned just a ton of points there. I mean, I remember those stick handling sessions, the stick handling shooting clinics with the Turcotte stick handling that was lights out. It was affordable, like you mentioned. So I love that theme. Moving forward, what can we do to maximize what we have now? Such good points right there, Coach. Last thing, what about this young Ducks team? I mean, I know right now you have a little bit more leeway to talk about it, venturing off into new roles with you. So come on, open up. Let's hear it.
Man, if I'm a Ducks fan, I got to be excited. I think with the young talent that they've brought in, and it seems like they really have a plan for the type of style that they want to play, which, I mean, as a fan of hockey, and like, yeah, I'm a Kings fan because I grew up here, but like, I wore number 9 for Paul Kariya. See that stick behind me? Like, nothing's better than when the Kings and the Ducks are both great. Like, you look at all the players that have been coming out of California lately, they're a product of Ducks and Kings Stanley Cup years. And I think the Ducks finally look like they have a plan of, this is how we want to play. These are the types of players we want. And if you're not going to play that way, we're going to bring in guys that will. And I think one of the things that's been lacking in the Ducks' identity is maybe some grit and some just physical play. And you bring in a guy like Rich Kloon as an assistant coach, who's a young, hungry guy who played the game honest and hard. Like, I mean, I'm excited for the Ducks. It's going to be fun to see how these guys evolve.
Coach Kloon, I mean, great point there. He's just going to add that meanness, right? That, I mean, you're touching on it, accountability. I can't wait for that. I know he made some waves there with the Marlies power play and taking them from kind of a mid low level power play to really lights out. So really looking forward to Coach Kloon joining us here. Biebs, Coach, can't thank you enough for joining Eat 'Em Up. Come on, we've been talking about it. Let's grab breakfast here soon.
Let's do it, man. And let's keep this conversation going on how we can keep making this thing better and change this stuff up a little bit.
I agree. You're the man. Chat soon.
Love you, brother.
Love you.
If you love today's content, then I'd love for you to take a trip over to VGHC.com or stop by their Costa Mesa flagship store to see what the club is cooking up for hockey fans worldwide.
Ah, Coach Biebs, does it get much better than that? It really doesn't. I mean, so articulate, so polished. And I tell you what, if I was a owner of a, I don't know, any kind of minor league team, AHL, Coast, he's so suited for professional hockey in guiding right now he's guiding young men and young women out there on the ice. But I gotta say, I would invest in Biebs as a coach, and you're gonna hear Brett's name further down the line. I mean, he is that talented. He's just been on a tear. Like I mentioned, it's not easy going to the Quebec tournament. You got all these teams, huge number, largest Pee Wee tournament in the world, and it's huge. And we know the Brick tournament for some of the world's best 11 and 12 year olds. But I tell you what, next step is that Pee Wee tournament. And the fact that Coach Brett Beebe won that Quebec, the carnival there, it says a lot. Like I mentioned, won the national championship with his Junior Kings program. That's not easy. It's not easy. And Biebs has done that as well. So good on you, Biebs. And I got to say, I mean, he doesn't come across as a Kings fan, does he? He really doesn't. I mean, classy, goes about his business the right way. No, that's not your typical Kings fan. So Biebs, keep setting a good example for that Los Angeles Kings fan base. You're doing great, buddy. Once again, appreciate you coming on. Let's turn to some Ducks news here. Just some latest and greatest. Of course, we talked about all the draft prospects last epi. If you haven't heard it, please check it out. It was so juicy and got a lot of touch on since the home opener was announced. Yes, Utah Hockey Club. Don't panic. Like we care. I mean, it's not the Ducks or anything pertaining to it. But hey, Utah Hockey Club. Okay, it's their name for, I guess, the first season. They're going to keep sorting through the final names that they've weaned on down to. And we don't care. Once again, we just want you at Honda Center, October 16th. Yeah, I said it. That's the home opener. Can't wait. Of course, along with that, the Ducks announced the 2024-25 schedule. And they begin the season with back-to-back road games, October 12th at San Jose and October 13th at Vegas. Look, I'm just reading this off the AnaheimDucks.com website. That's all I do. It's got the latest and the greatest, and that's what I'm doing, and that's what I'm going to continue to do. Ducks recently signed first-round pick Steen Solberg to a entry-level contract, along with our third overall pick, of course, Beckett Seneca. I mean, this guy, he was dominating at development camp. He was pulling some nasty moves that just fit right into what we've been seeing. The Zelly toe drag, the stuff Minty does there on the back end. I mean, it's just the things that this young Ducks organization is just, it's going to be scary. Okay, we saw a glimpse of it last year. Once it all comes together, it's going to be so fun to watch. Some other news. Ducks have promoted Sudarshan Maharaj to director of goaltending. In addition, the club has named Tim Army assistant coach Peter Budai, who during my PTO with the Los Angeles Kings, I actually had a chance to, you know, speak with him a little bit at this rookie face-off in Vegas before last season began. He was there. He was working with the Colorado Avalanche organization. Got to catch up with him a little bit as well. Unbelievable human. I mean, the Ducks just continue to sign not only lights out people from a resume perspective, but also just great human beings. And the Anaheim's goaltending coach and elevated Julian Tremblay to NHL player development. The hires complete Anaheim's 24-25 coaching staff, which includes head coach Greg Cronin, assistant coaches Tim Army, Richard Klune, and Brent Thompson, goaltending coach Peter Budai, and video coordinator Austin Violette. Ducks sign winger Nikita Nesterenko to a 1-year two-way contract. And our guy, we also signed defenseman Jackson Lacombe to a 2-year contract extension. That's huge. That's huge. He was great. He was great for his first full season. He had, of course, that cup of coffee, a couple games there the year before. Look, second year or first full year, just continue to, as Coach Brett Beebe said, sharpen the tools. Iron sharpens iron. And look, I think he's just competing with the other young guys, and they're all pushing each other. I think Jackson, Brianna Decker, who was our special guest last episode, spoke so highly on the Minnesota native Jackson Lacombe. And I mean, that's huge for an Olympic two-time medalist, and Brianna Decker to be pumping your tires. That's got to feel good. So look, two really good recent signings. Of course, we got the couple entry-level signings, some organizational additions. Look, that's huge. I mean, we keep getting better, whether it's from a management perspective, a coaching perspective, just getting the right people. Newell Brown headed the Ducks power play for so many years. And look, he's a Stanley Cup winner, and he's done a lot for this Ducks organization. But I tell you what, Rich Kloon, I mean, he's coming in here. He totally flipped that Toronto Marlies power play around. Really average, came in there, same season, turned that thing around, and they were flying. And I really hope, and I know, not only do I hope, but I know that the power play is going to make huge gains with Coach Kloon running that ship. Well, it's just that time of year, right? Tryouts, if you're a youth player, 10U, 12U, so on and so forth. Probably had your tryouts. If you're junior aged, tryouts, main camp. I mean, it's right around the corner here, folks. And I wanted to get someone who really knows the ins and outs of a training camp. And there's one guy that came to mind. And me and Coach Sam Graham go way back. We've run some camps together. He's just grinded. He's a dog. He's a dog who is from SoCal, and he's worked so hard to get where he's at. He's now the assistant coach for the NAHL's Anchorage Wolverines. How cool is that? I mean, they're a hit up there. Huge following. They had a lights out year, went really deep last season. I mentioned Brett Beebe is a rising star. I tell you what, it's all about grassroots, baby. And Sam Graham, he's a rising star. Yes, you're going to be hearing more of his name here in the near future. And look, Steph, we got some juicy stuff for you. So Steph's going to play it. This is all about what scouts look for come tryouts or come training camp. Steph, go.
Number one is compete. Is the player competing 100% every single shift consistently and from start to finish? So when their players that they're changing for is jumping out and they're coming off for them, are they ready to go right off the get-go? And are they competing hard 100% the whole shift? And are they coming off the bench to change when they're tired for the next guy? Are they skating hard all the way off? Number two, true to self. So if you're a playmaker, are you making plays? If you're a goal scorer, are you scoring goals? If you're a grinder, are you mucking it up? If you're a stay-at-home D-man, are you shutting guys down every single time? So staying true to yourself in the sense that whatever we scouted you to bring you to camp, are you fulfilling your role? Number three, this is the bonus. So let's say you're a playmaker, but now even better, we also see, you know, that you're grinding, you know, or maybe a grinder that can score goals, or a stay-at-home D-man that can also make, you know, high-level passes. So what's your bonus ability or another asset that makes you even stand out more than just, you know, the guy next to you, if you're a playmaker, say, can you do a little bit more? Number four, how much are you in shape compared to your peers? So, you know, it's pretty easy to tell if a guy is pretty out of shape, if he's taking 20-second, you know, 15-second shifts and he's gassed, versus a guy that's taking about 40, you know, 40 seconds to a minute going super hard. And you can tell he's, you know, in shape compared to the other guys. And the fifth one is body language on the bench and on the ice. How are they preparing on the bench? And then on the ice, are they doing the right things? You know, are they not getting frustrated? Or if they are frustrated, are they not showing that emotion? Obviously, you don't want to show any weakness, and definitely no bad body language.
Thanks, Coach Dangles. We call him Sammy Dangles for a reason, because he used to dangle in his junior career. He had some great numbers. Now he's a coach and a lights out coach. He's going to be a head coach in no time. So thanks, Sammy. Appreciate those words. I mean, all true, all true. Coach Dangles just, he mentioned what scouts from a scouting perspective are paying attention to, as they are making their rounds evaluating. But, I want to take it even further here. So I got my own five keys, but this comes from a player's perspective leading up to tryouts or training camp. I'm getting this lots from parents, you know, what to focus on, or if I just really feel as I'm talking to some of my clients' parents, just the I mean, you can sometimes even feel the anxious levels of either the parent or the parent relaying some of those the anxiety going through that player leading up to the tryouts or camp. And look, it's that time of season. So here it is. This is how to prepare as a player for a tryout or an upcoming camp. Number one, clean cut, clean shaven. Okay. It's one of those things where you just don't know. You know, some of these some of the scouts are old school, right? Been in the game for a long time. A lot of what they saw in the past, that's their jam, right? So you just want to play it safe. So show up just sharper than a knife. That's how you got to be. That's how you got to be. Number two, attire. Collared shirt. Tucked in, nice belt, no raggedy shoes. Come on, be a pro. Three, visualization on the plane. If you're going to a main camp or a evaluation camp, start visualizing. Visualize yourself making high risk, high reward plays. As Coach Sam Graham mentioned, compete. Visualize yourself winning puck battles. Visualize yourself making positive plays, nice dishes. Visualize yourself throwing the biggest celly after a big time goal. How fun is that? And especially in big time moments like a tryout or an evaluation camp. Number four, leadership. First at the rink, last to leave. If it says the shuttle leaves to the rink at 9 a.m., that means you Uber at 7:30, 8 a.m. Come on, get there hour and a half earlier. Everyone is rolling into the rink and you're already rolling out, stretching, warming up. Ask the coach for a bucket of pucks. Grab a couple guys to go rip pucks 10, 15 minutes before practice starts. I mean, that'll start getting the coaching staff talking. Hey, Jimmy, I mean, he bought Sammy and Tim out there early, dropped a bucket of puck, started working on their shot. It's infectious. I love seeing it. That's an easy controllable. Easy. Number five, 24-hour rule. Teams are made in the first 24 hours. First impression is everything. So look, jump to the front of the line. After two hard laps, be the first on one knee. Front row and center at that board as the coach draws up the next drill. Come on, be in your face. How bad do you want it? That's what head coach of the Medicine Hat Tigers, former National Hockey League coach, and one of my former coaches, Willie Desjardins, said. How bad do you want it? All in on this last thing. This is an episode that is so grassroots through and through. I've loved every minute of it, and thanks for tuning in. One thing that I left out, and I was kicking myself on the way home from the Chase DeLeo episode of Eat 'Em Up, which if you haven't heard it, please go check it out. This is almost a kicker to that episode. Talking a lot about SoCal hockey, once again, grassroots. But I'll end on this. And I get asked this a ton, like I said, from parents. Hey, my son wants to make the USHL next season. I stop him. I'm like, whoa. It should be broadened. It should be not so narrow of a window, not so short-term thinking. If you're a male, think NHL. I mean, that should be your number one just thing to highlight as far as goals. And if you're a female player, PWHL. Never say, I just want to make it to a USHL team or a D1 program if you're a female player. Always shoot for the very top. And I'll tell you why. Everyone that's in the USHL or D1 women's college or D1 men's college, everyone's thinking the highest level. That's just a stepping stone for everyone. That's why you got to think the highest level. Everyone else that's in the USHL or women's D1 or men's D1, Western League, that's just a stepping stone for them. And everyone that's at those levels in real time, they got NHL on their mind, or they got PWHL on their mind. So it needs to be broadened. And know that it's not just if I don't make it here next year, it's over type of mentality. Going back to the quote I just said, Willie Desjardins, how bad do you want it? I'm going to name a few players. Joel Ward cracks the NHL 28-29. Derek Ryan cracks the NHL 28-29 after, well, Joel Ward, CIS, a long CIS Canadian collegiate career. And Derek Ryan goes to play in Europe first, then comes back at 28-29, cracks the NHL. How about Tim Thomas? We all know Tim Thomas's story. When he cracked the NHL, what age? Dustin Penner, former Duck, goes to North Dakota Pro? I don't know if it was Minot State or he goes to a D2 collegiate program in North Dakota and transfers to Maine. And then makes it to the show. And you got Njokic, who tier 3 player at one point. Brandon Bolling, tier 3 player at one point. All these guys I'm mentioning didn't have it easy, but never had a short-term vision or mindset. And all of them thought the same thing, that one thing that Willie Desjardins to this day still harps on. And that's how bad you want it. Thanks for joining Eat 'Em Up. Catch you next time.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.